It's Friday, the 5th of June. I'm Ryan Galpin. Before we start today's episode, we just wanted to take a moment to think about the three Royal Navy personnel who lost their lives in a helicopter crash earlier this week. Lieutenant Commander Chris Gayson, Lieutenant Lily May Fisher, and Petty Officer Owen Green were taking part in a training exercise in Devon. Our thoughts are with their families and friends at this time. Jade Calloway from BFBS Germany is on today's episode. And Jade, I understand it's been a busy week for you.
Yes, here in Germany, it's been incredibly busy for a lot of personnel. There's 3,500 extra people in Germany at the moment, thereabouts. They're on Exercise Rhino Storm. And this week it's been the final test exercise. And we got to have the most fascinating day going and looking at what that looked like in a few different areas, because it's spread over a really, really big scale. It's been over a big region here in Germany. I think it's probably worth starting a little bit chronologically, because it was interesting right from the beginning of the day in how we started, which was to go to the Exercise Control ExCon, the headquarters. And we got the most brilliant overview and safety briefing from Major Tom Pritchard from the Combat Ready Training Centre in Germany. And we saw maps, basically, of where all the troops were at that moment in time, all over this region in Germany, out on the ground, up to sort of an hour's drive away from Senlager and Normandy barracks, in a mixture of current British military estate, former British barracks, which we'll come to a bit, and local land as well. So really, really, really interesting. And it was like mission control. If you imagine Houston to NASA, that's what I would say ExCon looked like, because there were desks and they were in rows on plinths that got kind of higher and higher in exercise control, all looking at the screen that had the map on it. And they had little sort of pieces of paper in front of those desks saying what they do, what their role is. So, you know, sort of different cap badges and different roles within the exercise, each had their own desk with a little bit of sticky paper on the front of it.
Gotta have a label. Names are always helpful. I mean, it's sounding like a scene from like Independence Day or something. This is a movie kind of scale thing.
Yeah. Like I say, it made me think of Houston to NASA. And it's also where the problems are being thrown at those who are out on the ground. So, for example, I spotted the Red Strike Desk, which is the artillery who would be sat there controlling their element and playing the enemy. And I clocked this guy that I thought, oh, I recognise you, because I'd spoken to him a couple of days before about his role in the exercise, because their job is to make it as realistic training as possible and tough for those who are out on the ground. And his role to play in the exercise was pretty fun.
I'm Bombardier Neil Strachan with 105 Regiment Royal Artillery. I'm on the Red Fires desk, and we are the opposition forces, and we do the artillery strikes, so we're the enemy.
Okay, so that's got to be a bit fun when you're getting to cause problems for the exercising troops.
Yeah, especially when we get to fire artillery on our colleagues from 105 and then watch their symbols on the map moving about. It's good fun.
And then have you already sort of come back together post that little phase of the exercise and given each other some banter around that?
Not yet, but the gun line got hit a couple of times by us. I'm sure they'll make their feelings known when they come back in.
I imagine that must be a nice opportunity to get out any grievances. I mean, is there anyone that you would like to fire artillery at the moment, Jade?
No, I'm okay. But I really do think it must be fun to play the enemy, mustn't it? You know, to sit there and go, I know these other people, and I'm going to give them a hard day at the office. Fun fact, Neil's brother is also on the exercise, and he was telling me that his brother is younger than him. So there's that dynamic of he's the big brother, but his brother outranks him. And so his younger brother tips up and nicks his sweets, and he can't say anything because his brother's a warrant officer.
Sibling rivalry. Was the brother on the other side?
No, I asked. That was the first thing I asked him. They are. His brother is doing the real life support, sort of making sure everybody's got what they need, beds, food, everything like that. So they're actually both on camp in that kind of exercise control environment, and more local to us here. But from there, and we had this safety briefing, and genuinely, it's probably the safety briefing that in my near 15 years with BFBS, aside from doing something like arriving in Afghanistan and listening very carefully as a civilian to what I needed to know, it's probably the safety briefing that's made me sit up and listen very carefully because of the scale of this exercise and the involvement of all the different people and how it's been going so far and what we needed to know on the day. Really interesting. So from there, we got our briefing and we hit the road. Like I say, the big scale all across this region in Germany. We drove for probably about 30 or 40 minutes, maybe a little bit less, but to a farmhouse in Wöhl, which was, we drove up and it's a beautiful countryside home, fields all around it. And you're thinking, this doesn't look like it's a military exercise. Have we taken a wrong turn? But no, there was very much exercise activity going on there. We just couldn't see it, which was the point, because they've taken over what the military are calling a building of opportunity. In this case, the farmer's barn. So local landowners have given their permission here in Germany to use their land, to use their buildings for this exercise. And that's something that's really interesting and doesn't happen all the time. So we went in and there was this entire medical facility inside of a barn, and a very state-of-the-art barn, I have to say, bougie barn, because...
What's a bougie barn?
Very modern.
Is that like glamping, where you do glamping and stuff like that?
Yeah.
You have a nice wedding.
That's what the personnel there were saying, is they were like, this is so much better than we were expecting. We followed our grid reference. We thought we were going to be making camp in the field, or that we were in the wrong place because of how beautiful this house was. It was a very modern, very big outbuilding, and sort of solar panels all on the roof. It was used for storage of some very nice vehicles. But in the space that there was in there was this medical facility. So a couple of battlefield ambulances. There was a comms vehicle, so they had one comms specialist with them. And all in, there were 10 different people, the comms specialist, 9 medical people, a doctor, a nurse, and several medics, combat medical technicians, I think they're known as. So I was chatting with them while they were waiting for their part to play in the exercise. They knew that on that day, they were likely to get a training serial thrown their way, i.e. some injuries, some simulated injuries that they would need to treat. You got such a sense of their professionalism in this hurry up and wait scenario where they're, you know, they're sort of twiddling thumbs a little bit, but they were just so professional when they talked about their role.
I'm Luke Scott. I am currently a BFA driver at Freemed.
What is a BFA?
It's a battlefield ambulance, so it's the platform we use to transport casualties in and about the areas.
And what's your name?
Hello, I'm Robbie Wilson. I'm a CMT at 3Med.
And what's a CMT?
Combat Medic Technician. They're the first responders on the line. When you see a casualty, they usually pick them up and put them in said BFA.
What's it like to drive an ambulance? Is that different than another military vehicle that you've driven before?
It is. It's massively different because they're very top heavy. So while you're driving them, you've got to be careful because they can tip very easily. But also, at the same time, you've got to try and remember to drive very smoothly because you've got very poorly patients in the back of the ambulance. And obviously a lot of it is cross-country as well, so you've just got to take everything into consideration.
And you're doing all that on roads that you're unfamiliar with when you're on exercise, which would be the same, I guess, on operations. But what's that been like in Germany on exercise Rhino Storm?
Yeah, it's different everywhere you go. I've done it in many different places, and for me, I've got a lot of experience, which helps the younger guys. And I'm lucky now I can just basically take any terrain as I see it, really. And it makes it better for the medics in the back.
And do you enjoy it?
Yeah, I love the job. Freemed's honestly one of probably the best posting I've had so far working with the medics.
Are there blue lights on the top as well? Are you getting to, you know, do what a civilian ambulance does and make noise and scream and shout that you need to get somewhere fast?
We can do, yeah. We tend not to because we're normally on the back area, so we don't need to. But it has got that capability, yeah.
Okay, and you talked about driving as smoothly as you can, even though you might be driving on all sorts of terrain. And that's because there's a lot going on in the back of an ambulance at that point, which is your role, isn't it? What are you expecting to do today?
There's all sorts of injuries that could happen on the battlefield, but what we've been equipped for is a CBRN threat. So that's some kind of nerve agent or something that we then treat and then get them in the back. But other than that, it could be blasts, GSWs, things like that. Big sick patients that the two T1 bays are made for, and I'll be in the back while Scotty's driving the front. And then we get them to a facility here where we can do more in-depth care. And then that's why we've got the doctor and Staff Sinclair as the nurse, and they can do their interventions and save some lives, hopefully.
Okay, Jade, I have to ask. Scotty mentioned a lot about his smooth driving of the ambulance. Can you confirm that there was a smooth ride?
We just have to take him at his word because we didn't get to see him driving, Ryan. I'm gutted that we didn't.
He sounds like a truthful guy.
I believe
he
him.
Like a truthful guy.
I believe him. Yeah. They were so super professional. And he told me a bit more about, you know, his experience, his years of service and where else he'd been. Their role is one where they are waiting for their part to play, right? So we were hoping that we were going to get to see them in action treating these simulated patients. And we didn't get to because it didn't happen in the couple of hours that we were there. But we didn't waste our time. They were really just great people and really up for getting involved with BFBS. So we got some really, really fun stuff that you're going to get to see on the BFBS Germany Instagram, where we were like rifling through their ration packs, asking them about the things that they were doing while they were sort of in a waiting game scenario. We've got some really, really, really fun stuff and some more insights. Keep following the BFBS Germany Instagram, if I can give that a little plug, because there's going to be so much to see there.
Oh, by all means. And you're already having a lot of fun on that Instagram page, I can see. So more fun is very in keeping with what's already on there as well. So lovely stuff. I have to ask, you mentioned about being ready, a simulated kind of casualty and stuff. Are we talking about kind of a mannequin dummy? Actors, what's the situation with that?
I think they've had a bit of everything. There's some sort of high-tech equipment that's in use for this exercise, and then there's also real people and people acting as enemy, as casualties. So what we've learned from them that was quite interesting is that the body armor that those are wearing that are out in the field has this high-tech equipment on it. If you think of a very sophisticated version of laser tag, when the red desk at XCON do a strike in the exercise environment and they see on the map where they've managed to get to, those who are on the ground, their body armor tells them from the data of where that hit would have been, how many of them are out of the exercise, how many of them have been injured and need to report to the medical. And so the medical teams are receiving sometimes physical people who are saying, no, I'm out. No, I need treatment for this level of injury. And that's really interesting about the kit and equipment.
I know it was a day full of interest and highlights, but if you could pick one thing out, what was the standout moment from the day?
I actually think it might have been the place we went to next. So, we got back in the car and we travelled further away from Senlager in the Gütersloh area. And if anybody is listening that knows Germany of old, they might know this place as RAF Gütersloh. They might know it as Princess Royal Barracks, but it's a former British base that closed in 2016 and was handed back to the German Stadt, that's been back in use for this exercise. But in the last decade, basically nothing has happened there. So nature has taken back over. The buildings are looking very derelict. And the way the military do their training sometimes in urban environment settings that have been built especially for it, this was such a good example of something that was actual buildings that had just been empty for a long time. And so we arrived there And we got told, you're going to do a wide loop around this former barracks. You're going to go on foot and you're going to walk around. Watch your step, because there are troops in here who have dug themselves in, ready to defend themselves for an attack in the exercise, right? So it's all personnel from Seven Light Mechanised Brigade. There was the Scots Guards and the Royal Yorks who were going to be these defending troops. And we were like, right, okay. So they sort of said, watch out for broken glass, watch out for barbed wire, and you know, just keep your eyes peeled. So we're walking around on what looks like empty streets. And I was thinking of the movie, The Last of Us, not the movie, the TV series, The Last of Us.
Yes, that's what I think it's
right. Super dystopian, zombie vibes, abandoned theme park, it was described as. You know, these kind of places that people would want to go to and do paintballing in. It was exactly like that. It was so perfect for the training purposes. But it was really creepy walking around, because you thought, oh, there's nobody here. And then someone went, well, apart from that sniper on the top of that building. And you're like, oh, yeah. And they've got cam nets over the vehicles that are tucked inside of a hangar or round a corner of a building. And everywhere you walked and everywhere you looked, and we were looking at what were old accommodation blocks, and you're just like walking past, looking up at it. And then there were a pair of eyes peering out at you from the window of the people who've gone in and occupied that building, ready to defend it. It was really, really fun to walk around and realise how brilliantly they'd gone and concealed themselves and occupied these buildings. And yeah, there were eyes on us everywhere we went, but you felt like you were all alone, apart from then when there were vehicles whizzing by with full crews in them, someone in the gun turret. Really cool.
Did you have to wear like a t-shirt that said not a target or something as you walked around?
Don't worry, Ryan. We were in our big high-vis vests that say, media, please don't hurt us. We're not the enemy, I promise. We're not the
opposite of what they're doing. They're like completely hidden and you're the most obvious people around.
Honestly, if I'd had my hanky in my pocket, I'd have been carrying it like white flag. Please don't spring out on us, because they were ready to go. You know, they were primed and they were ready for what was coming their way in the exercise.
Amazing. That's such an incredible deep dive into Rhino Storm. Thank you so much, Jade, for joining us on Daily Dits. And if you like deep dives into defence and military information, don't forget to check out our new SITREP podcast, where we discuss and analyse defence, foreign policy and stories affecting the British forces. Latest episode talks about the long-delayed defence investment plan. New episodes released every Thursday, and you can also now watch it on the Forces News YouTube channel. We are talking to SITREP editor James Hurst next week on the pod. You can catch that online on the BFBS app and wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for tuning into today's Daily Dits. We will catch you again soon next week. BFBS.